Thank you for listening to the Resting Place Church podcast. Our dream is that your heart would find rest as we learn to practice the ways of Jesus faithfully. So we hope this message both blesses and encourages you.
This is the last week of our series, Our Sacred Rhythm, and we're talking about serving our neighbor. And if you haven't listened to the other sermons in the series so far, go ahead and go back and listen to those. They're on YouTube. They're on the podcast. You can go listen to those. And the reason that we have, amen, saint, shout me down, buddy. The reason that when we moved into what we feel like God was calling us to do as Resting Place Church, we did not just want to call people to experiences. We wanted to call them into a way of life with God. And we wanted rest for their souls. And there's a lot that goes into that. And I believe the way that you do that is you develop this rhythm with God. And you don't try to balance your life. How many of you know that balance is a myth? If you've ever thought about balance before in your life and how it pertains to your living, just think about this for a second. Everyone who's ever asked the question, how do I balance my life? They were always out of balance while trying to balance their life. And so you don't balance your life. You get into a rhythm with God. And this morning, part of our rhythm here is that we serve our neighbor. We give generously. And we serve our neighbor. You heard a minute ago how we are able to do both of those things. But I want to talk about we serve our neighbor this morning. And at the end of service today, this is what's going to be so different about this service. I know that in a typical church service that most of the time what would happen if we were going to all receive communion together is that you would get this little cup with grape juice and a cracker. And we would all like open it at the same time and take it because it's convenient. And I just don't think that it's supposed to be that way. I just don't think it's supposed to be that way. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with communion out of a little thing, whatever, do whatever you want. But this morning, we are going to come and receive this morning. And I'm going to talk about that in just a second. So just a little practical instructions, what I mean by that is you're going to get out of your seat. And I'm going to come right down here, and I am going to wash my hands with Germex before all of this so that you don't think I'm disgusting. And I'm going to hand you the body of Christ that has been dipped into the blood of Christ. And we're going to take communion, go back to our seats, and then I'll dismiss us after that. But I want to talk to you about why. I don't just want to do that. I want to give you why. And so this is also probably the most uncomfortable that I have felt preaching in 10 years of preaching. And there's several reasons for this. Number one, this has meant everything in the world to my walk with God. And sharing about this subject is not easy for me personally. The second reason is I felt that I was supposed to preach to you without any notes this morning. And the reason why I felt that is because I don't just want this to be another sermon. I want you to hear what we are. When we say we serve our neighbors, I want this to come out of me and hit you in a way that's authentic and real. And so I could preach a fantastic 4-point sermon on we serve our neighbors. I wrote one, actually. But it's not up here with me, but I want to go to Luke 22 this morning. Luke 22. And I want to start reading here in verse 7. Luke 22, starting in verse 7. Now the festival of unleavened bread arrived when the Passover of the Lamb is sacrificed. Listen to this. Jesus sent Peter and John ahead and said, "Go and prepare the Passover meal so we can eat it together." "Where do you want us to prepare it?" they asked him. He replied, As soon as you enter Jerusalem, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him. At the house he enters, say to the owner, the teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples? I want you to pay attention to this part. He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already set up. He's going to take you to a room for you to prepare that's already set up. That's where you should prepare our meal. They went off to the city, found everything just as Jesus had said. They prepared the Passover meal there. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down at the table together. And Jesus says, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup of wine and gave thanks for it. He took the cup of wine and he gave thanks for it. He took the cup of wine and gave thanks for it, and he said, take this and share it amongst yourselves, for I will not drink again until the kingdom of God has come. He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it, and then he broke it into pieces. And gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body. I want you to pay close attention. This is my body, not a representation of my body. This is my body. This is my body, which was given for you. Do in remembrance of me. Skip down to verse 24. Then they began to argue amongst themselves about who would be the greatest among them. And Jesus told them, in this world, the kings and great men lord it over their people. Yet they are called friends of the people. But among you, it will be different. Say, it will be different. In the kingdom of God, it will be different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank. And the leader should be like a servant. Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here. But not here. For I am among you as one who serves. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us and let us receive from you today as you serve us your body and your blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, so glad that you are here. So glad that you have joined us. Jansen, you're good, dog. You can give it up for Jansen this morning. We almost forgot. Even when we're taking communion, we give Jansen some praise. But I wanted to talk to you about this morning. But before I do, I kind of need to set this up for you. Because in lots of ways, we don't know how to think about serving in the church really at all. We just do because it needs to get done. And there is a passage of scripture that many of you are super familiar with, which is Acts chapter 2. And I don't know if you remember what happens in Acts chapter 2, but the Spirit moves and fire lands on everyone's head. And then Peter gets up and preaches a sermon, and then he goes and tells them what to do. But in the middle of Acts chapter 2, there's something that is very important that happens. And we always miss it. And I think The reason that we miss things in the kingdom of God is because a lot of times we do not have someone like Peter who stands up and says, when God starts moving, who stands up and says, this is what this is. So in Acts chapter 2, the Spirit starts moving, and the people have no idea what's going on, and then Peter pops up and he says, remember, in Joel chapter 2, this is what this is. Most of the time, I think that when we talk about communion, and I'm going to say some very, maybe, some things that rub you the wrong way theologically this morning, and that's okay. That's okay. Just make that up in your mind. It's okay. That communion and the Eucharist, this is not to represent something. This is not to represent Jesus. This is Jesus sitting on that table. We just do not have the eyes to see him. And a lot of times when we talk about this, a lot of you are probably like, oh, is he talking about Catholic stuff? No, that's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about that Jesus Christ is uniquely present in this in other ways that he's not elsewhere. That's what I mean by this. You know, one of my favorite things about Pentecostals is that we can find God anywhere. And when I mean anywhere, I mean anywhere. Like this past week, I had this guy. He sent me a message. And he is buying a piece of property. And he bought this piece of property. And he goes out there and he finds something that is considered expensive on the property. And he sends me a picture of it. He says, this is what God is saying. That he's going to bless my house because I found something that is expensive on my property. And by expensive, I mean it's not expensive. Like a pack of these things costs like $12. They just happen to be the most expensive thing that you can buy in that category. And he sends me a picture. He said, this is God saying that he is going to bless me and my family, and I'm going to be rich. And I didn't even say anything back because I wanted to be like, it is not. That is not what is happening. But just to say maybe it was, maybe it is, maybe it is God. We Pentecostals, we find God in every place except exactly where he told us he would be. We can find God anywhere, make up any prophetic word, turn every dream into anything, and this is God. And it's like, listen, let me tell you where God is every single day, every hour of the year. He is in the body, and he is in the blood. He is in the bread and he's in the wine. And I do mean wine. I do not mean Welch's grape juice. Right? Jesus did not bless Welch's grape juice. I'm sorry. And so what I'm going to try to do this morning is not only am I going to try to, I'm not going to try to open your eyes. I am going to preach and pray that your eyes are open to this. But before I do, I kind of think that there's really three things that I want to kind of hit on as it pertains to the table of the Lord and really as it pertains to we serve our neighbor. And the first thing is this, that you have to come to the table. The second thing is you have to set the table. And the third thing is that you have to trust the table to do its work. Now, I could just stop there or I could elaborate on those, which I will do. But I think a lot of times when we think about the table of God, when we think about communion, when we think about what this is, when people come here every single week, when people are coming to this table to see God face to face. That is how you have to think about coming to the table of God. It's that you are coming here every week to meet with God face to face. You are coming to meet with Him face to face. You are not, I don't know how to make this any plainer. You are not coming to participate in a symbolic experience that represents Jesus. That is not what this is. What this is that you come and meet Jesus face to face. And I think that that is the start of serving your neighbor. It is the beginning of serving your neighbor, is that you have had this face-to-face meeting with God at this table of communion, at this table of fellowship. And from that place, you are then able to serve your neighbor appropriately. Here's the problem. We never actually come and meet Jesus face-to-face. We come and have experiences. And God, let me make this clear, is not something to experience. He is a person to be known, and a person to be known intimately. Like I shared this earlier, you can experience Beyonce at her conferences, or at her concerts. Didn't know Beyonce had conferences. I wonder what goes on there. You can experience Beyonce at her concerts, but you don't know Beyonce, and you for sure don't get close enough to her to get to even know what she's like. And coming to the table, the first and most important thing that you need to get in your mind is each week we come here to this table, this place with God, to meet Him face to face. To meet Him face to face. That is the primary reason that we come here. It is the primary reason that in our ways of life that we gather on Sunday. We gather on Sunday around the person of Jesus at a table. And you have to see all of this. Everything that we do, you have to stop seeing it in reality. You have to see this with eyes to see what the Spirit is doing. And when we come here, we are gathering around a table with God to see Him face to face. Like when I mean face to face, this is exactly what I mean by this. I don't mean that you come here and you stay out there or you stay at a distance from God. I mean that you look at Him like you would look at someone sitting right there. That you look into His eyes like Revelation says, that burn like fire, and you see Him face to face. And in that moment, there is this great paradox of the kingdom of God that I am still trying to figure out. When you see God face to face and you commune with Him, He then sends you to prepare this table. And so when you think about serving our neighbor, you've got to get these kind of things going in your mind. Is number one, you have to actually come here and know God face to face. You see Him, you know Him, you know what He's like. You don't just know about Him. The greatest danger, maybe not the greatest danger, the greatest flaw that we've done in the church is to teach you to think like a normal person. And I mean something very specific by that. I don't mean that you don't use wisdom. That's not what I mean. What I mean is we have taught you to take the lens of the Spirit off of your eyes in a lot of places because we've made everything a metaphor. And what I'm saying is, this is not a metaphor. It's not just enough, I think, when preaching to say what you mean. It's to say precisely what you don't mean. And what I don't mean this morning is that this is a representation of Jesus. What I do mean this morning is this is God inviting you to see Him face to face and to become one with Him. That's what I do mean. So if I didn't make it clear enough this morning, what I don't mean is that this is wine and this is bread and that represents God. That's not what I mean. What I mean is when this wine and when this bread was consecrated, we believe that the presence, the unique presence of Jesus is in that, is there on that table. One of the most powerful experiences that I've had in all of my walk with God was the first time that I actually participated in a Eucharistic adoration service. Now, if you are liturgical at all, you know exactly what that is. If you're not liturgical, you have no idea what that is. And this is not like the first sermon for me taking our church to be a liturgical church, just so that you can stop panicking and think that we're not going to have worship like we just had and all that. And that we're going to march in with a procession and with torches and all that. Timmy, you carry one torch. Kelby, you carry the other, and we're just going to stick them up here. And there's nothing wrong with that. I actually love those services. But I was in a Eucharistic adoration service, and what they do is they take a clear cup, or actually, they don't even take a clear cup. They take that bottle, and they take a piece of bread, and they sit it on the table. And what you do is that you stare at it. You stare at it. Because what it is you becoming, it is you coming face to face with God. And I remember in that service, all I could think about was, I want to stay right here forever. I want to stay face to face with God forever. And then my bishop gets up and immediately corrects my thinking. And he says, the paradox of this is that you should want to stay face to face with God in this moment forever. But the paradox of this is that He sends you. He sends you. That you, this cannot stay just with you. That when you stare at His face long enough, your face begins to look like His face, and you become a signpost to the world. Yes, that's good. We come to the table when we're thinking about serving our neighbor because we don't just want to, and listen, we want to do these things, but we don't just want to fix people's houses, and we don't just want to feed people, and we want to do those things, but we want them to see the image of Jesus as we are doing it. We want them to see God face to face. We want our face to look like His face. And then they have this experience. They're like, I don't know what is happening to me, but there's something. Like, I remember one time, I don't really remember who was all there, but we were actually out. Me, Emily, and Jamie. Jamie used to be on staff here. We were having a meeting at some restaurant, and this girl comes by, and she like stops for a second, and she's kind of like taking the tip and stuff. But she says this, and I'll never forget this. She says, "You're so nice. You're so kind. You guys are so kind." Like, me, Emily, and Jamie just didn't become kind. Something happened to us to make us that way. And this is what I think is so beautiful. This is what the scripture says. It's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. It's the kindness of God. And so when we come face to face, when we come to the table, to come face to face with Jesus. It is not so that we can get sent. But the reality is that we do get sent, just like Peter and John. Let me make a note here. Notice that Jesus, it literally says this, because I have been reading this over and over and over and over again all week long. It says this: Jesus sent them. He sent Peter and John to go prepare this table. Now, when you think about this, you have to put your sacramental glasses on for just a moment. When we think about preparing this table, and we think about setting this table, so you have to come to the table, and then once you come to the table, then Jesus sends you to set this table, right? And to quote our worship pastor last week, this is the way that I like to put this, and this is the way that I will forever put this. When thinking about serving here, you cannot think about that this is a greater position, or this is a lesser position, or this is more important, or this is less important. The way that you should think about this, in the beloved words of Emily Black, is every freaking thing matters. I quote and unquote. Now, last week when we were in the lobby in huddle before service, Emily is having this moment with God. She's like crying and everybody else is just kind of like, all right, praise God. Emily is having an encounter with God. But in that moment, like, I have trained myself to ask, Lord, what are you saying? And like in this moment, she says this: every freaking thing matters. And I was like, that's what you're saying? It's like, yes. And I begin to think about that. When we are sent to set up this place where people come to meet face to face with God, everything does matter. Nothing is higher on the scale than other things. So let me put this into real practical terms for you. You getting here early to be on the worship team or be in the tech department, that matters. It's creating, it's setting this table for people to come and see people, and or for people to come and see God face to face. When you are working and serving in the kids department, that matters. That is you setting this table for people to come and be face to face with God. When you're on the connections team and you smile at people as they come in, that is you setting the table. That's you setting the table. When you get here early and you're making the coffee that people will drink, that is setting the table. That's what that means. So when we say that we serve our neighbor, the first thing that we have to do is be face to face with God, be one with God. And I'm going to talk about just that more next week. But then we're sent to set up this table. And I think it's very interesting that it says, like, Jesus sends them to a room. And this is what the scripture says: the room's already ready. It's already been prepared. I need you to go set up the table. There was something that Peter and John knew. That yes, that room is ready, but there is something different about when we prepare this meal and we sit down at this table and we see God face to face. So like, yes, this room is already ready, but we have to set this table. My bishop says like this: we hold holy things with holy hands. We hold holy things with holy hands. And when he said that, something hit me, and I wasn't real sure like what it was. But then I like got to thinking about it, and it just like made sense that when we are coming to set up this table, you have to see that work as holy work. You cannot see that as casual. task being accomplished. You are setting a table for people to come face to face with God. And the only way and the only reason, and really the only reason why you should ever not want to set that table is not because of your schedule or whatever, but it's really because this is still a theory. This thing with God is still not real to you. Like, and I don't mean that to come off so harsh, but like, this is real. This is not an experience. This is not a moment where we have, where, like, just a moment ago, when God was moving powerfully in that moment and people were being touched, like, can I let you know? That is because we set a table. That is because we set a table. That is because, please note this, people who have been face to face with God set a table. That is because people who have been coming to a table, they know what's happening in this moment at this table. And there should never be a reason that you would not want to set that table. Because I believe that you've been face to face with God. Some of you really may not have. Like, that may be like a real thing. It's still a theory. This is all still like metaphorical. And it's not Jesus. But what I'm saying is that when you come to this table week in and week out and week in and week out and over 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 again, and you stare at Jesus' face, when he sends you to set this table, there's not really another response but yes. Well, what do we need to do? I don't know. Go find that dude with a pitcher of water that's going to be going to some random dude's house in Jerusalem, and you're going to follow into a guest room and set up our meal there. That's what happened. That's what happened. And I think maybe to wrap this up, I think that you are comfortable. You are comfortable with the first two. Let me like go ahead and say this. You will not leave this church because of the first two things that I said. You will leave this church for what I'm about to say. We are fine with coming face to face with God. We are fine with setting the table for God. But we are not fine, and we are not okay with trusting the table to do its work. What do I mean by this? I mean something very specific by this. This is what Psalm 23 says. It says this: I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. The work of this table is not... Please hear me when I say this. It is not to bring all of the Christians together. That happens, right? That's what happened in Luke 22. Jesus brought all of the disciples together, and they had this encounter with God at a table. But Luke is the book of the table. If you read Luke, Jesus is either going to a meal... He just got done with a meal. He's going to church. And then after that, he's going to another meal. Incredibly Baptist of Jesus. But Luke is this book of the table, so to speak. And you see this in Luke 24, right? You see this in Luke 24. The two men are walking on the road to Emmaus. they're going down this road. And they were followers of Jesus. They had been at this table. They had sat at this table. And this is what the text says. They were walking, and Jesus starts preaching. Jesus, the greatest preacher of all time, starts preaching. From Moses until now, from Moses until Jesus, Jesus is going through the entire Old Testament saying, this is where I was, this is where I was, this is where I was, this is where I was. Don't forget about this point right here. And they still don't see Jesus. They still don't see him. And then he goes to wander off, and they do something that they know that they're supposed to. They don't know this stranger. They just know that he's been preaching to them. And they say, hey, why don't you come have a meal with us? And he took the bread, and he breaks it. And it says this, their eyes were open. It says, that is Jesus. And then it says something really strange. He disappears. He disappears. And in the same book, or in the same Bible, the same author, Luke, wrote Acts. And you see this move of the Spirit happen. And you don't see, let me state this, you do not see God gathering Christians around a table. Even though that is happening, you see God gathering the world around a table. And that is the part that we don't trust. Because we don't think that this table has the power that it has, because we don't think that this is what it is. So when you're preparing a table, that means that you are in the presence of those who are not, let me say this and let me make this as clear as possible, not like you. And that means for the Christian who was raised in a fundamentalist environment, that means that you gather around the table with all the people who bother you the deepest. And for those who have deconstructed from fundamentalism, that means that you gather around all of those fundamentalists. That's what the table is. It is not a divider. The table is not where God separates people. It's not where he comes and starts putting people in these random categories that we've created, that if you are this way, you can come and drink and you can come and eat. We do not trust the table to do its work, mainly because we do not visit it often enough. That's the first and foremost reason, is that work that the table is supposed to do has not gone so deep within us. Listen, I have had so many people, and I think this is so good for today. I have had so many people ask me about my beliefs around certain sensitive subjects in our culture. And can I give you the answer? It's this. So like, Cole, what about people who support abortion? This. What about people who are in, like, what about people who are in the LGBTQ+IA community? What about those people? What about all the Democrats? What about all the people that I hate? there. What about all of the things that bother me the most? Here. And to the degree that you are unwilling to sit down with people at a table who are not like you, you are not communicating that you are Christian. You are communicating that you are actually Antichrist. The Antichrist is not some random political figure. The Antichrist is a spirit that divides. All of the charts and stuff that you want to break out about the end times, shut up! Because here is the only thing that you need to know. When this ends, it ends here. Yes. Yes. It ends here. With everybody, not just the people that you don't like. With, let me say this, your enemies. Do you want me to tell you what will grant you compassion in your heart to those who have done you wrong? When you sit here and he sits there and your enemy sits there and it no longer is about this, it's about this. The problem that we face is that when we see people at that table that we don't like, we either sit down and get up too quick or we don't go at all. I can't tell you how many times that I've received messages and emails and texts and other bullcrap stuff that I really don't care to receive about our church. Really, what it comes down to is, you mean y'all actually love everybody? Yeah. You mean you're not going to call people out for their sin? No, what I mean is I'm not going to do that until you tell me your sin and I get to call you out for it. You mean you're not going to talk about sin? Yes, I will talk about sin. It dehumanizes people. That's what sin does. What sin does, sin is not getting you to participate in dumb things. That's not what sin is. Sin is convincing you that you will find what you're looking for in that dumb thing. And that dumb thing destroys you. One of my favorite stories is, it's very odd that this is one of my favorite stories, but it's the story of Adam and Eve. And when they're in the garden, we have read into that text so much of what it doesn't say that we actually don't know what it does say. When Adam and Eve sinned, God did not kick them out of the garden. He did not. That's what you've been taught. They left the garden. They left the garden on their own. And God goes looking for them. God did not banish them from the garden. It doesn't even say, like, a lot of times they're like, oh, weren't there creatures keeping them from getting back into the garden? No! There were creatures keeping them from getting back to the tree that they ate from. Why? Because if they kept eating from that, it would kill them. So God didn't push them out of his presence and make them pay for it. Adam and Eve left the garden, and God goes looking for them. And something that you need to know about sin or whatever, That's what sin does. It convinces you that you need to leave the garden to figure out who you are instead of being face to face with God. And so this morning, I want you to stand with me. Charlie, do you have that quote? I want to read you this quote and then I want to let us go. But as it pertains to trusting the table, this is something that the Lord has really shown me. And this is written by a French Jesuit. And so this is what he says. He says, above all, trust in the slow work of God. We are all quite naturally impatient in everything to reach the end without delay. We should like to skip to the intermediate stages. We are impatient of being on the way to something unknown, something new. And yet it is the law of all progress that it is made by passing through some stages of instability, and that it may take a very long time. And so I think it is with you. Your ideas need to mature gradually. Let them grow. Let them shape themselves without undue haste. Don't try to force them on as though you could be today. What time? That is to say, grace and circumstances, acting on your own goodwill, will make of you tomorrow. Only God could say that this new spirit, gradually forming within you, will be. Give our Lord the benefit of believing that His hand is leading you, and accept the anxiety and the feeling of yourself in suspense and incomplete. And accept the anxiety of feeling yourself in suspense and incomplete. What is this saying? It is saying that we don't always know what takes place at this table, but we trust in the slow work of God. We all don't know what takes place when we come here week after week after week, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and it seems like that nothing is changing and our questions aren't getting answered. This is what I mean by trust the table to do its work. God is working even when you do not see it, even when you do not feel it. There is something happening in you, and you can trust in that work. So, Lord, we thank you. Teach us to trust, teach us to listen, teach us to draw near. There's nobody like you, Jesus. You are good, you are merciful. And today you send us out with joy. And today we go into the world to set up tables and to bring people close and to trust it. In your name, amen. Amen. Well, I love you guys, and I will see you right back here next week at 10:30 a.m. And we will not have a table on the stage, but we are coming to one. And so I love you guys, and I will see you next week at 10:30. Love you all.